numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning, too. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. It's my little buddy Kelly Bidlin, everybody. Producer number 9. So much more than a producer.
Hey, yo. How we doing?
What's happening?
Not much.
I'll tell you how I'm doing. I'll answer this question literally at face value as opposed to being like, I'm great. How are you? Slow start to Wimbledon. It's grass.
One day.
It's early. It's one of these things, though, where in tennis, there are so many matches, right? Year long, let alone day to day, and a tournament like this in the first round, it's a million matches, right? It's not really a million, but you get the idea. And what you inevitably do is you have edges on a bunch of matches, but you say to yourself, "Self, I can't play every single edge.
Sure, yes.
Let me pick these matches to play." All right, guess who I had to lean on this morning? Cocchioretto. Did I have the onions to play it? No, against Pegula, of course not. The one that I did have the onions to play was yesterday, Talia Gibson against Osaka. That doesn't get home. There were two matches yesterday, Šestović, Sigmund, edges to play, leans to play, don't play them, they get home. The ones you play, don't. So there's a lot of that going on. So I'm not in the greatest mood, let's put it that
right.
way.
We all know this. Everybody's like 78% lifetime on their leans. Like, it just happens.
Todd Wishnev is 97.8%. He's also...
It's incredible how it happens.
Todd is 99.4% when he says it out loud and doesn't bet it himself.
That's rough.
It's amazing. Rough. The kid is incredible on those.
You think
I exaggerate those. My God. On the show today, Mark Borchardt talked baseball with us. Got to get Borchardt in for a Q2 tennis podcast. A baseball podcast. Pardon me. I got tennis picks to give out here. MLB divisions, done or not done yet. And then a little later on, just to pull back the curtain here, here's what happens on the show. Kelly usually gives me some homework on the show beforehand on certain segments, like, hey, let's do certain MLB teams. There are markets to 70-plus wins. Then certain teams, there's markets to 100-plus wins. So a little bit of labor-intensive, so we'll go through that a little later on the show. But some of these exercises don't really result in great bets. We'll see if this does. Last time we did it, it did not, except for a few that I sort of said maybe.
Yep.
We'll see if there's any maybes in that.
I also threw the ones at FanDuel where I caught this morning that actually DraftKings has some posted too. So maybe we can compare odds.
Which one?
Some numbers.
I see what you're saying. That thing you sent me yesterday, I think we should revisit at some point.
Okay.
What I'm referring to is FanDuel has a market.
This is awesome.
Yeah. Last team to get shut out after a certain date, which we just noticed. So we don't have FanDuel here.
I'm going to guess they weren't doing it all season because I feel like I would have noticed it earlier. The one I sent you, like you've noticed, it started on June 15th. I don't know why date.
So did we miss it when it did it come out on June 15th and we missed it?
I guess.
Okay. So, I mean, that would be an interesting one to track at the beginning.
It's a great market idea.
And that would be a hell of a handicap, too, to try to figure that out with pitching rotations and opponents and all that. Anyway, we'll do 70 wins and 100 wins for certain ball clubs. And then Drew Dinsick will join us, talk grass tennis at Wimbledon and anything else that he is betting. Let's start his National Football League bets. What offseason bets has he made? And what rando sports can he offer us? Tour de France? Has that happened yet? No?
No, that's usually like in a couple weeks, right?
So we'll get his thoughts on that.
He's ready to go on that. You know that.
By the way, in case you missed it, I just now was on with Jensen and David Lee Ross, by the way, I believe his full name, David Lee Ross and Jensen Lewis on By the Books right before this broadcast. I have 3 tennis plays left today that have yet to start, in other words. Anna Blinkova, I just mentioned, plus 133. That's a fade of Maria Sakkari. And on the men's side, I'm on David Goffin, a veteran Belgian player, plus 142. Love him on grass in this matchup. And then Alex Bolt is the long shot of the day, 3-1 against the American Ben Shelton. Alex Bolt, one of these rare players who we have over 100 matches of grass data to support his play. A lot of qualies over the years in addition to actual match play and tournaments, live tournament play. So Blinkova, Goffin, and Bolt currently trying to get Siniakova home as a dog. She is in a third set now with Zhang Xinwen, the fifth seed in this tournament.
Yeah, I was watching a bit of that one earlier, rooting yon. And, man, yeah, it was great yesterday. The first few days at Wimbledon were awesome. It was. I mean, I needed some sleep. I got a quality nap in after. Whoa. I forgot to send you the rundown yesterday. I had some tennis on. Mm-hmm. I was watching the Taylor Joe Cerullo Fritz match, and very confused at the ending of that. But it got postponed till today.
Yeah. So the fifth, Dave, and I would say this: Dave Ross made a great point beforehand. In case of those who missed it, the Taylor Fritz Giovanni Bepecci Pericard match. You know Giovanni.
Oh yeah, of course.
Great server, serve bot.
Even good guy.
And great on grass. Maybe. With the serve, especially. They're going to a fifth set. Mepechi Pericard won the first two sets. Taylor came back, won the next two. And Taylor, like, I think he staved off some match points, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Or at least he was down. I think he was down 5-1 in one of the breakers there, and he came back to win it. And then because there's a code ordinance with clothing. Gotta wear white.
Oh, I forgot about this.
And then there's a noise ordinance.
Forgot about the noise ordinance.
Yeah, so part of the deal that they made is we're going to build these two stadiums here, but you still have to abide by the noise ordinance. So at a certain time, so there's like 40 minutes before the curfew, if you will. And so they went to the players. They basically went to the players and said, hey, do you want to continue this or not? And they both have to agree on playing. And apparently Mepechi Pericard didn't want to, which was smart of him, because he's like, I don't have any of the momentum right now. Let's play fifth tomorrow. And then Taylor Fritz got upset because they sort of asked him, and it didn't matter what his answer was. Yeah, so he's like, well, why are you asking me? So great response by Taylor.
Oh, man. Yeah, way to go, Giovanni. Live in that match, because it has not started yet, that fifth and final set. Fritz minus 275, Pericard plus 200. Pericard?
I say Pericard. I don't know.
Pericard.
Yeah. To me, I would play him or nothing. Pericard or nothing.
Yeah, it's one set.
Pericard. Yeah. You get to it. That is likely to get to a tiebreaker. Likely to get to a tiebreaker. So maybe you play that as well. Can we do, because we're going to do a Q2. I was mentioning a baseball podcast, mm-hmm. Q2 baseball podcast. Can I just mention the current first five standings in Major League Baseball?
Fire away.
Because we always like to see if our White Sox thing is in play. Remember, I don't know if you guys know this, Chicago White Sox, not really great at baseball. Chicago White Sox right now, although it's not nearly as bad as it was last year. Let's make that distinction. But the Chicago White Sox, nonetheless, this year, in the standings, dead last in the American League Central, 28-56. That's the worst record in the American League. And the only team in Major League Baseball that's worse than that is the Colorado Rockies. So on a full game money line basis, and we'll get into a bunch of baseball here later, as I mentioned. So on a full game money line basis, right, if you play the Chicago White Sox every single day, whether a favorite or a dog, and usually they're the dog, you'd be hemorrhaging money. You'd be down 10 units, right? It's the fifth least profitable team in baseball. Right. Only the Orioles, Twins, Braves, and Rockies themselves would have cost you more money if you played this bizarro exercise of playing the White Sox each and every game. But as we talked about last year, the thing with the White Sox is the first five bets are almost the exact opposite, because they're actually competitive in the first five. They're often, not often, but almost always a dog in those. And so they end up being one of the most profitable first five teams. It's starting in the sixth inning in the bullpens that things go awry. Well, Kelly, here we are a year and a half into this now. Number one first five team in all of baseball. Again, if you bet this team as a dog or favorite every single game, Detroit Tigers, no surprise. Number two, Milwaukee Brewers, not really a surprise. Maybe a little bit, but not really. Phillies third, great starting pitching, right? Guess who's fourth? Chicago White Sox.
Are you serious?
28-33-17, you'd be up five units.
It's incredible.
And now, keep in mind, there's not a bunch of profitable first five teams. Really, if you're talking about above two units, there's only six of them. And the White Sox are one of them. So anyway, just a little quirk.
Only six of them above two units?
Yeah, there's five teams that are profitable, but it's less than two units. Cubs, Rangers, Reds, Angels, and Royals.
Huh. That's interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, just a little baseball things. It's stuff we do on the Q2 podcast, which will be hopefully later this week. Anything in the NBA that moved your needle yesterday, trade-wise?
Man, it was a lot more active than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
I don't know. I shouldn't say that. I feel like I could say that every day after the day one of free agency. Man, it's an arms race out west. It is. I thought there were a lot of interesting moves yesterday. I'll start Denver-Houston. I mean, Houston just keeps firing away. Dorian Finney-Smith they bring in. I mean, really rounding out that roster. I mean, gosh, they grabbed Clint Capella's heading back to Houston. Like, he's going to be third on the depth chart. There's, like, other teams out there that could use him. That one kind of confused me. But, man, I think he thinks he's signing up on a pretty loaded team, and that's what they're turning into. I thought the Nuggets, Michael Porter Jr., Cam Johnson trade was genius. I think it's... It's what we've come to expect a little bit out of this Denver organization, but I think when you're watching that team during the playoffs, push the Thunder to 7, and there was probably a lot of people like me saying to themselves, man, if this team just had a little bit more of what it had a couple years ago, they are right there with Nikola Jokic on that roster. And you bring back Bruce Brown for basically nothing after he bounced all around the NBA last year, bring him back for almost nothing to put in that backcourt, and then you got... Off of Michael Porter Jr.'s contract, which is the biggest thing here, because if you want to look at offensive numbers, they're pretty comparable to Cameron Johnson. You're both shooting right around 39-40% from three, both great three-point shooters. Cameron Johnson adds a little bit more defense, though, than what Michael Porter Jr. brought to the table, and you're going to save over $40 million the next 2 years. So I thought it was a great, great, great move by Denver. Denver and Houston really loading up.
You believe that the Rockets are justified as the second favorite behind the Thunder?
I think after yesterday, yes.
Wow. Okay. Let's talk some baseball. Which divisions are done, which are not? We'll look into that and more. Let's go City. Come on, get it done. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Want to bet smarter? I know you do. Start with smarter insights. Right now you can check out an NFL betting guide. It is out today. What a day it is here. It's Bobby Bonilla Day and it's this.
Yeah.
NFL betting guide day. It's both of those things. Greg Peterson's MLB best bets, Zach Cohen's Wimbledon picks, and later today you can check out Steve Mackinnon's MLB analytics report, Tyler Shoemaker's WNBA picks, and Wes Reynolds' John Deere Classic preview. Right now you can sign up for full VSiN Pro access until the Super Bowl for only $175. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up today. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Stringfellow Hawk, he says to you, Kelly, David Lee Roth, did you get the reference? That's what he's saying.
No, I did not. Where?
He did not.
Where?
I called Dave Ross, David Lee Ross.
And
he's making fun of your musical sort of.
Gotcha. You two are clever. It was a great one.
Blind spots is what he's referring to. What mean you two? It's just him. Let's see. Tom F. T for three says, win or lose, Zhang Xinwen is something else to watch. Oh, she's something else. All right. That's for sure. Jeff Holdorf, happy Bobby Bonilla Day. Another 1.2 milli. What a fabulous pension plan. Just 10 years remaining for Bobby Bo. Meanwhile, last night we were late to the concert because my friend is trying to save money on gas. Good grief. We're late for the concert.
I don't know why it does. There's a part of me, Gil, that gets way too happy on Bobby Bonilla Day. Like, I don't really understand it. It's just a very comical contract and awesome to think that anybody one day a year goes and, what is it, 1 million? Is it a flat 1 million?
1.2 million.
1.2 million. Just... And one day out of the year, just going to go collect a check for $1.2 billion. It's awesome.
It's brilliant.
It's awesome.
Shohei has his deferred as well, I believe.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of guys do.
Like everybody on the Dodgers, right?
You should get your VSiN one deferred, Kelly. Should totally do that.
Yeah, right.
See if they agree to it. This is and Razorblade has an interesting comment. I'm not sure what he's referring to, but he says, shocking how many, because of the schedule, NFL win total bets people give out as if odds makers and the betting market are just clueless to the schedule. They're not clueless to the schedule, and I do agree with you on most. Witness our Pittsburgh Steelers one from last year, right? We were so convinced Pittsburgh was going to go under with that schedule. They did not. So I think you're right. I understand your point. Though, again, I am guilty of looking at a schedule like the New York Giants schedule, knowing their level of play, and just unable to get to six wins. So, listen...
Wait, I didn't understand the point of that. But what's the point? There's too many win total bets based off of what the schedules
are? Yeah, his point is, Razor Blade's point is, he goes, obviously the bookmakers know the schedule too. So is I'm paraphrasing. Now I'm getting on his side. I'm going to play on his side. He's saying it's already built in. They know the schedule too. Why does everybody think they're smarter than the thing itself?
Okay, I get it. Yeah.
And to some degree, I believe it. But I also think if you believed it was that efficient, there would never be any bets either, right?
Right.
So I don't know. I think to a certain point, you are correct. I understand the sentiment. Okay, can we do a couple things here? One, let us revisit yesterday because it is July 1st and it is Bobby Bonilla Day, but it's also the beginning of a new month in Major League Baseball, and I would just want to revisit for those who missed it yesterday. MLB monthly wins, most wins month of July. I am on the Seattle Mariners at 20-1. It is now, by the way, DraftKings finally did put out theirs for those, you know, in DraftKings jurisdictions. They finally put theirs out late last night. DraftKings is out. So the Mariners now plus 950-ish, 10-1 is what we're showing at Caesars now. The Dodgers are the short shot everywhere. What was interesting about the Dodgers at DraftKings is the Dodgers as a short shot was like plus 750. That's not a, like, I can't really be mad at you if you played that at that number at DraftKings at plus 750 on the Dodgers. They are, after all, let me put it this way, you leaning in, the Dodgers. So I get it if you want to play it at that price. Everybody else has it as almost half that. But here we're showing the current Caesars books. These have moved around. Dodgers plus 450, Cubs 7-1, Tigers 9-1, and there are the Mariners right now at 10-1. And for me, it's, again, the explanation was, and I'll try to make it short, was July's the sprint month. There's an all-star break in the middle of it. There's fewer games, obviously, because of that. And so a difference in the number of games scheduled is magnified that much more in the month of July, anywhere between 23 to 26 games played. So I looked at the 26 teams first. There's four of them. The Guardians were a team I considered as one of those. Their schedule is probably the easiest of all teams in the month of July. I just don't think the Guardians are any good. They're an overachieving under 500 team as is. And so I'm not gonna back them. Still love you, Guardians, for the thrills of April and May last year. But I couldn't back them. The Cardinals with 24 wins were tempting, but 24 games, pardon me, were tempting. But again, it's only 24 games, and I just think they're kind of average across the board. Those were two that I really considered. The Jays kind of crept up as a team I considered. Ultimately, it was the Mariners for me. They have 26 games. They're at the top in that top group of games that are scheduled. Also, the easy parts are on the bookends at the beginning and the end, starting tonight. They really got to like make hay on these first six games at home against teams that are below 500. The hard parts of the Mariners schedule is cozied up front side and back side of the All-Star break. And things get a little weird right before and right after the All-Star break by experience handicapping baseball for as long as I have. So I want the tougher games to be in that squirrelier time. So the Mariners, 20-1. And I just think they're good, right? I think their bullpen is better than average. I think their lineup is pretty solid. And I think their starting pitching is way underrated. And I think that's, you know, I think the Mariners 20-1 month of July was the best value on the board. And that's what I played. I don't hate them to win the division. Dave Ross was telling me off air that he's played the Mariners to win the NL West at 6-1. I don't hate that either because I think they're a good ball club. And Houston, the thing about Houston is, we'll get into this later, easiest remaining schedule in all of baseball for Houston. I will concede that. But are you really going to go 8-0 in one-run games like you did in June? Is that sustainable? I don't think so. So Mariners, to me, still the play for July. And then I don't hate the division play as well. How about, there, by the way, we want to do division by division now? What's done and what's not
yeah,
done?
Yeah, sure. Let's do that. I just want to make one comment. It kind of goes back to that tweet, though, about the you know, efficiencies in markets, right? In market posting. We could say that about win totals, and I think it is correct to point out, yes, I understand the point of, yes, a lot of us, when we go to talk about win total bets, we are going right to what the schedule is and pointing to that as, you know, point A, point B, point C of why we're making that bet. But Gil, when I started, when I went to adjust and update the odds on this market today. Oh my gosh. Of what I had sent in from Caesars just 24 hours ago.
Oh,
not
yeah.
just the Mariners, right? Yeah. I mean, Mariners probably
everybody
moved the most,
around.
But everybody moves. Yeah. It was incredible. I don't really think I've seen a month actually like this month of how much numbers moved around from one day to the next. And yeah, you're right, DraftKings, 7-1 on Dodgers.
I mean, I can't hate on that.
Yeah.
We didn't see that yesterday.
Yeah, right. It was nowhere near that at Caesars and Circa.
Yep. All right, let's do division by division. Done or not done? What do you want to start with?
All right, we'll start in the AL East.
This is actually the most interesting of all the six divisions to me. It's certainly not done, right? Because Tampa Bay is right behind the Dodgers in this division. Only a
Yankees.
Game.
Yankees minus 205.
What did I say?
Dodgers.
Sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. Rays only a game and a half behind the Yankees in the AL East. A little wire crossing there, pardon me. So it's definitely not done, right? Just based on the standings. And the Blue Jays are only two games back. So it is a log jam at the top here just to pass the halfway point of the season. I will actually say this. So it's a division not done to answer the question. I actually think there's value on the Yankees. They are the most underachieving team based on Pythagorean theorem and sequencing thus far this year. Some Yankees fans themselves would push back on me and be like, oh, dude, they're not that great. I don't know. Like, it's kind of interesting that the Yankees, who are on top to me, represent value at minus 205. I'm not making the bet, but I just think while the division is not done, that would be the only bet I'd make.
Okay, that's great. I was going to kind of ask you that question. Yeah. I'm going to go to the next one, though. Of the, if you had to bet Rays or Blue Jays, who would it be? Who do you believe in more long-term?
Rays. Okay. Yeah, Rays.
All right, AL Central, done or not done yet?
Done. It's over.
So, Tigers are minus 2,500 to win that division.
It's over, because the Guardians, who are in second place, they shouldn't even be the record they have. They're the most overachieving team in baseball.
They are 28-1 along with the Twins. AL West, done or not done yet? Astros, you're minus 340 favorite.
Not done at all. I just mentioned I think the Mariners are actually a good bet there at plus three. Well, we're showing plus 350. They've got a better number than that. I think the Mariners are a good bet. That is absolutely not done.
NL East, Phillies minus 180, your favorite. Done or not done yet?
No, I mean, the Mets are only two games back. It's obviously not done. I do think if the Braves are underachieving based on Pythagorean theorem and on sequencing, had the Braves actually played up to their record, which is more of a 500 record, is where it ought to be, then I would actually include them. But I can't include them as far back as they are.
NL Central, Cubs a minus 180 favorite. Done or not done yet?
No, four teams are still in this. Four teams are within 5.5 games. Cubs, Brewers, Cardinals, Reds. Absolutely not done, even though I think the Cubs are the best team of the bunch.
NL West.
Done.
Dodgers minus 2,000.
No, because even a Giants fan like me, it's like, I never thought the Giants could overcome an 162-game schedule. The Giants are like, you got to get to the playoffs and then you're something. But you're not beating the Dodgers over 162. Plus, I think the Giants and Padres are kind of disappointing, to be honest.
I think I'm betting the Yankees.
I like them. And I think Borchardt, we'll find out from Borchardt if he agrees with me. That's next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on the Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas, Nevada. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. Hey, look, Winner's Circle Proxy. WinnerCircleProxy.com/VSIN, the top Las Vegas football contest proxy. They were, of course, responsible for those free entries that we gave out some time ago. Meaning, what was it, 2 days ago now?
Last week already.
It was last week, wow. If you need a proxy, you can join the world's biggest football contest with one trip to Vegas anytime before the season starts. Trusted by thousands of players over the last nine seasons, Winner's Circle Proxy Service helped clients win over $9.3 million the last two seasons. Learn more about using a trusted proxy service. Visit winnerscircleproxy.com/VSIN. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin alongside. We get tweets of beating the book. I just want to read a couple because I want to talk to Borchardt here. But this is... Explain this to me from Jason H11. He says, happy Kelly Bidalon Day. Kelly gets a $25 free play for Sigma Derby.
Well, I think Jason's just thinking like me. I would like one day a year where I just got a Bobby Bonilla-like present. Doesn't need to be $1 million.
Oh, I see. Sean's Fox Plays reminds
I
us.
I guess everybody has that on their birthday, technically, but I don't know. It's not the same. It's not the same.
Sean's Fox Plays reminds us it's happy Chris Davis Day as well. People forget Bonilla, not the only one. That gets a payment from the Mets, but gets $500 million from the Orioles as well. Oh, so Bonilla gets money from the Mets and from the Orioles. Chris Davis, after receiving his full $23 million salary in 2022, Davis will earn 9.16 million annually. He has the last few years. The next 6 years, 2026 to 2032, Chris Davis will earn $3.5 million a year. And then 2033 to 2037, $1.4 million
a year.
Yeah,
this is awesome.
And at that point, he will have turned 51 years old.
See, that's perfect. Because perfect timing, right? You gave yourself some runway in case, you know, maybe you got a bad year or two, right? Or, you know, whatever. You got to pony up a large amount of money for something.
Chris Davis, whose entire Major League Baseball career can be summed up by, oh my God, this is an amazing home run hitter too. Oh my God, he'll never get a hit again.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert, it's Mark Borchardt, Base Winner, at Base Winner. BaseWinner.com is where you can find him, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line right now. We're doing a Q2 MLB podcast tomorrow. Can't wait to do that. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing good, Gil. How's it going with you guys?
Doing very well. Why the Dodgers shirt, sir? Is there a reason for this?
You know, I wanted to talk about the Dodgers, and I think that they're a little bit overpriced in the future market. And one of the things that was interesting to me, Gil, was their lack of production from a pitching standpoint in the month of June. And, you know, we play these June, July, whatever, monthly markets. The thing I thought was really interesting, and I do BBK, but you can do sorts for all of the different pitching metrics. And in BBK, so this is just walks divided by strikeouts, month of June, the Dodgers 27th in baseball, 0.46. I thought that was a pretty interesting number, Gil.
Yeah. Some of us, I don't know how much I want to give away here, but there's bets even shorter than five innings. The Dodgers are not good at them. They really aren't. They tend to come back and win ball games. You do think, though, that they're still winning this division, right?
I do. Yeah, they have about a 90% to win the division, but to win the World Series, for instance, I've got them at like maybe plus five. Let me just look and see what the actual projection is to win the World Series. 16.2% plus 515, and I mean they're priced at like, I mean that's an insane number considering, you know, it's not like this team. You look at them and I'm taking the June month, and the hitting wasn't like you don't have this team that's, you know, 10 weighted runs created points higher than the next team, and pitching that's just, you know, unbelievably good. I don't see why they're that big of a favorite in the market. The Yankees, I have 13.5%. That's the other thing too, that I kind of wanted to piggyback off what Bill said the other day on your show. And it really kind of hit me that, you know, these guys can make better odds on this. And I'm just looking at these future odds. And if the Dodgers are overpriced, well, there should be some value somewhere in this market. And it's just the house take is just getting obscene. I'm trying to figure out, you know, maybe I can make a play here, even saying that. And I think, you know, Detroit at plus 700, okay, that's a little bit of value there. Houston plus 950. And here's the thing. It's like, okay, They're plus 99, plus 999 by my odds, so no value there. There's no value with the Phillies. You know, it's like, okay, well, if the Dodgers are overpriced, well, all the other teams are too. And it's just a shame because they could price these things down a little bit and still make money off it, you know.
Kelly and I are both nodding, and we both have this expression on our face like, yeah, you're right. And it's not very pleasant. Let me ask you a different way. Let's go to division markets. I'll spring this on you. We just went through division by division. I just said, well, I think the NL West is done. I think the AL Central is done. The other four are probably still up for grabs. I mentioned that I thought the Yankees probably still had value, even though they're atop the AL East and it's minus money. I mentioned that I think the Mariners probably have value in the NL West. Tell me if I'm right about those two things, and tell me where you see the best value on any team in any division. Where's the best value?
Yeah, I would agree with you on that Yankees. I have an 87.6% to win the division. They were yesterday, I think, minus 215. I thought that was a good one. Seattle, 37.9%. So I don't know, whatever pricing you're getting, it's probably a pretty good price, I guess. What kind of price are you getting?
Well, that's the thing. It really is price dependent because right now it's plus 350. A minute ago it was over 6. So you got to really shop around and make sure that it is a price that is worth
playing. That's a huge disparity.
Yeah.
Yeah. So 37% is plus 170. So that's those are two good plays. I would totally concur with those plays, Gil. Those are good.
Okay. That always makes me feel good that the numbers back up sort of the instinct. Is there another team in another division that you look at? You're like, maybe. Maybe like, for instance, in the NL Central, that's crowded. What do your numbers say in the NL Central?
Let me just pull up that particular division. It's really to the Cubs. 84% to the
wow.
Cubs, Gil.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. My instinct is that they are the best team. I mentioned that. And then the last thing is the Braves in the NL East. I was saying, you know, they're had they played up to their Pythag, if they were around a 500 team, which they're not, maybe I'd give them a shot. But what do you have them as a percentage to win the division? They're a full 12.5 back. 35-1
odds. Percentage, nothing. 3.5% to make the playoffs, 21%. And I like those numbers. I think those are good, decent. Yeah.
Okay. What'd you land on today, sir?
Well, today, speaking of the Dodgers and how bad they are, I'm going to play them in a parlay today. I have it priced on the fundamental model at -357. So there's value there. But I'm doing some things with machine learning and kind of going through the crunch charts that I send out over the years, every night. Now I'm doing it overnight. People tend to like that because they can jump on the games earlier. But I'm going through all these numbers, and they have all the ratings and stuff. And the machines kind of take a look at them and like them. But, and the Dodgers are scoring really good on that one as well. And I'm going to play them in a parlay with – I mean, this is as chalky as it gets, but I like it. I mean, I'm going to go with Texas and Jacob DeGrom. I got DeGrom rated number 6 versus a really inconsistent Charlie Morton. The Orioles team, though, is an interesting team. They actually had some of the best numbers in June, but here I'm going to play against them, and it's an even money parlay. It's, you know, Chuck Woolery used to go 2-2.
Mm-hmm.
I go 1-1, and it's, you know, you risk one to win one, and you know what? It's all about winning the games. Who said that? Herm Edwards? You got to win. You play to win the games.
That's right. You play to win the games. That's right.
There you go.
All right.
For those of you who have to have, like, who are just so opposed to the parlay and think it's a square, I would tell you to go with the Twins, Minnesota Twins. This is an interesting number for the Twins here, this June comparison. So you look at the Twins, 9-18 with their record. It's a terrible record. But if you take a look at their WRC plus 7th in baseball, and then the pitching was about mid-pack. So they really should have been at least, you know, 500 or maybe a little bit better in June. So a little bit a bad luck there.
Okay, so Twins are the play. Twins -145 at Miami today,
yeah.
Marlins Park. Let's close it with this, the Giants. Giants just lost 5 of 6 to the dregs of Major League Baseball, or two really bad teams anyway, White Sox and Marlins. They balked a bunch. They had a couple pickoffs in there. They're just really playing bad baseball. Is this even a 500 team when all is said and done? What do you have them to make the playoffs?
Are they a 500 team? Barely. Like, have them like 85-82 or 84-81, I guess it would be. I can't, well, whatever the math is. 84 wins, Gil. 78 losses, I guess that's what it would be.
Yeah.
To make the playoffs. They actually, you know, they actually have a chance to make the playoffs. 39.6% chance to win the playoff, the playoffs.
Just so get them in, baby.
I have better than the Braves. Yeah.
Yeah, just get them in. Okay, better than Braves. Well, that makes sense based on the wins banked, as we say. All right, Mark, look forward to it tomorrow. Q2 podcast, Q2 derivatives. We'll talk first 5 innings. We'll talk first inning pitchers, umpires, everything you need to know for totals with Mark. He's got historical umpire numbers. Always look forward to it, man. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
That's a cool time. Thanks, Gil.
Mark Borchard, BetUS. He does it every day, except today, by the way, where he makes room for us. Check him out at BaseWinner on Twitter, basewinner.com. We'll come back. NFL and more next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game live from Circa, Gil, Kelly. Kelly fighting with a app here to make a bet.
Man, thank you, MGM.
And no thank you to someone else.
He ain't stealing $20 from me against Caesars to go down there and park. I ain't doing it.
What did they just give you on a minus
$55
on a -220 favorite?
On a -220 Yankees to win division favorite.
They gave you $55 United States dollars.
Yep.
Well, good stuff. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Real Uniform Czar Just added the Cubs 22-1 on DK most wins July. They're 7-1 on Caesars. Don't love 15 road games, but they should be the favorite in most of those games. Also took a flyer on the Orioles at 60-1, he says, and the Braves at 22-1. They can't continue to be this bad, right? Probably not.
The Cubs was the team I forgot to bring up. That was when I was mentioning the movement. Like, oh my gosh, did they really shorten up?
I looked at the Cubbies as well. This is from Brian M. I watched the end of By the Book. Gil's sitting in the correct seat. I go to a meeting, come back, and now all of a sudden he's in the wrong seat again. There you go. Still people still upset.
Never
going to
get over this. So it's been almost a year. We got to start getting over it, guys.
Ed Fang, the Power Rank, our buddy, says, grateful for the winner from Gil on Katerina Siniakova over Zheng Shenwen at Wimbledon.
There you go.
Part of a five nugget Saturday. He was in the, I guess it was in his newsletter. He's kind about the tennis. He says, if you're not following me for tennis, you're not doing it right. That's very nice of you. But it's been a choppy open to Wimbledon. I can't really say that it's been awesome. I mean, that was a good win, no question, this morning on Siniakova, which is a holdover from yesterday. But for every win, there appears to be a loss. So we'll see. We'll see if that turns. Again, still to come, Goffin on the men's side and Bolt on the men's side as well, tennis-wise. Okay, can I tell, since I didn't expect to have the Bobby Bonilla day thing last throughout the show, but I have a fantastic Bobby Bonilla story.
I think another reason why I kind of enjoy it, Gil, is because it sneaks up on me every year.
Me too.
Like, I never remember it's July 1st.
But we always get reminded.
Right. But we always get reminded.
Joe Pita, our buddy Joe Pita, who's a frequent guest on the show, friend, Joe Pita used to work for Mets owner Steve Cohen. So first of all, he points out, he goes, unlike the deferrals for Scherzer and Ohtani, which benefit the team, he says the Bonilla deferral was pure idiocy back on the day on behalf of the Wilpons, the owners. That was also, he goes, see Bernie Madoff, as you almost certainly know. Yes, the Wilpons thought they were going to have money forever.
Yeah.
You know, with this Bernie Madoff genius that was making them all this money.
Making them so much money.
So, like, what do we care if we defer this contract all these years? But Joe, friend of the program, of course, friend in real life. But Joe says when he worked for Steve Cohen, he was in the planning inner circle of the Mets purchase when Steve Cohen bought the New York Mets. Joe took the opportunity to suggest to Steve Cohen that each Bobby Bonilla day, because obviously Cohen would be on the hook for this as well, that the Mets should turn an embarrassment into a marketing opportunity by giving a random fan the exact same $1.19 million check that Bonilla gets every July 1st until 2035. He suggested this to Steve Cohen. He's like, look, this is an embarrassment to the organization. It's $1.19 million a year. Let's turn this into this great, like, instead of a bobblehead day,
give a fan $1.19
million.
I will give them some credit because I think they've kind of embraced the hilariousness of it a bit. But, like, this Joe idea, I mean, the Pita idea is just a genius marketing idea.
Well, Steve Cohen looked at Joe and said, quote, you want me to give away $1.19 million every year to a random fan? Long, awkward pause. You're an idiot.
It didn't need to be 1.1. Like, it could have been $1,100, right? Like, you could have taken away a comma or something.
By the way, for the record, Joe still feels like it's a great idea, and I think he's right.
I'm with him. I don't know if I was Steve Cohen, I'd be signing off on that much money either. But you could have done it, like, you could have done a quarter of it or something like that.
I just talked about going to the Giants Dodgers game in 10 days, 2 hours earlier for a Barry Bonds bobblehead.
Yeah. You can get on Amazon right now.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a great story from Joe.
You're an idiot. Welcome to the Mets. Okay. NFC East. Obviously, the NFL betting guide is out today. I don't think we've mentioned that four times yet today, but let this be the fourth. The NFL betting guide is out. And again, Zach Cohen and crew, Adam Burke and crew did such a great job on this. And every VSiN host is represented with their picks, divisions, conferences, who's in the Super Bowl. And not only that, every VSiN host has put in their favorite season long prop bets or awards, whatever. It was left up to them. The NFL Betting Guide Pro Edition. Our pro guide includes previews of all 32 teams, best bets from VSiN hosts, player props and projections. Football special, by the way, $175 VSiN Pro access through the Super Bowl. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. So we talked a little bit about the AFC East yesterday, how the Bills of all teams in the NFL and all eight divisions are probably the lockiest of the locks to win their respective division. I'm going to go ahead and say that the NFC East, you ready for this? 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm feeling way confident. I know a lot of people aren't, but I'm feeling way confident 1, 2, 3, 4 in the NFC East. Eagles, Commanders, Cowboys, Giants. Sorry, Dave Ross. Still got the Commanders ahead of your Cowboys. And I think, listen, a lot of the offseason narrative about Washington is justified, right? Washington won 9-1, talking about regular season and postseason. They won 9-1 possession games. They were 9-4, though, in one possession games. People tend to forget they also lost 4 one possession games, which I think is it's interesting what the brain does, right? You have a rookie quarterback, Jaden Daniels. Some of the wins were so dramatic that they are emblazoned, right, in a way that other games last season, I think some Jaden Daniels stuff is more memorable than even the Super Bowl was, right? The Hail Miriam, of course, against the Chicago Bears, the dramatic win against the Eagles, the amazing Thursday night performance against the Bengals. What folks tend to forget is some of those 4 close losses, right? Pittsburgh leaps to mind for me, where Zach Ertz was an inch away from a first down and a game was winning field goal at that point, potential game winning field goal chip shot. So they were 9-4, by the way, in one possession games. The Eagles were 9-2. They won their fair share, 9-1 possession games, but people don't process it the same way with the Eagles because it's viewed as much more sustainable than Washington. And I agree with that, by the way. I still think the Eagles are the cream of that division. Their defense is leaps and bounds better than Washington's is. Washington addressed a lot of things, but defensively, they still have holes. So I definitely think they're second to the Eagles. I'm not that crazy. And we're still tush-pushing, right? That's how we settled that. Yeah, we're still tush-pushing. That's still a thing. I just don't think the Cowboys can be – could the Cowboys, by the way, win totals 11.5 for the Eagles, Washington's 9.5, Cowboys are 8.5, Giants are 5.5. I think the Giants are a distant fourth, let's put it that way. I don't – if they don't win that October 5th game against the Saints, Kelly, good God, they may not win a game for a while. So I think the only question really to me is 2-3, and I'd still give Washington the edge over Dallas.
I think the one score wins – is I'm glad you brought that up because I think it is the I keep going back. I keep thinking about the tweet we got about kind of the schedule notes for win totals and everything, and it's I think a lot of this can be turned to say, hey, we talk a lot of the NFL during the summer, right, and that futures bets and divisions and all this stuff that we're projecting. I think that's something, because what was it, the Vikings the year before, right, that had the great one score record at the end of 2024 or 2025.
I know where you're going with this.
Like, I think we end up overvaluing too much that's going to come back, you know, that's going to average out the next season. And when rosters aren't always the same, this isn't 3-point shooting in the course of an NBA game, right?
Right.
Well, one singular game, nothing's really changed. Rosters move, rosters change around, coaching staffs change. I'm not saying it's repeatable, but we shouldn't automatically think it's going to go the other way.
That's
you should
correct.
Mark up another win or loss 100%. For the Commanders.
100%. And the point I was trying to make is...
Random tangent there. But.
No. It's a great tangent. It's a great tangent. I also think it's interesting, and the point I was trying to make is what your brain retains.
Yes.
For some reason, the only thing that people retain of Washington's 9-4 and Philly's 9-2 is, oh, Washington won a lot of one-score games really dramatically. Yeah, they also lost a bunch of them, too,
mm-hmm.
right? So, I mean, in any which way you break that down, what you're saying is correct.
That was a little bit of a tangent there. You and I are both under on the Giants wins. Completely
yes.
with you that I think there is... I'm pretty confident Eagles win this division, which is, I think, a little weird hearing me say out loud a little bit, Gil, because I actually am fairly high on all 3 NFC East teams not named the New York Giants, that hence the part of the reason why the underplay on the Giants win total. The other bet I did make, I was considering, I'm not as strong as you on the 2-3 order. I think you should bet one of those exactas, though. Check out the 1-2-3-4 exact in the division.
Yep. Sure should.
I'm not as confident Commanders, Cowboys. I think the Cowboys are being slept on a little bit from most people not named ESPN, obviously.
Yes.
the one bet I made on the Cowboys, so I took away the win total. I was looking over the win total. These props have started to pop up at some shops. Caesars, I bet over their total points scored for the season. So basically, I'm betting on the offense being good with throwing out how the defense is going to perform.
And you got more than $55 on that.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Cool. Did have to drive there, though.
A special numbers game investigation reveals that the Tour de France is this weekend.
Saturday.
If only we had an expert on named Drew Dinsick after the break. Oh, we do. That's next.